Welcome to the Introvert 360 Podcast.
Each episode, your distinguished hosts, Carrie and Rebecca, will analyze the extrovert's hidden agenda and how introversion can affect one's life experiences.
I have cats.
And how is that related?
Fine. Maybe we'll just talk about creative careers, workplace culture, and cake.
But introverts really...
But introverts really need to know about the hidden agenda of extroverts.
Get over it. Anyway, get ready to put on your introvert colored glasses.
What color are introvert colored glasses?
Rainbow? Unicorn?
Unicorn isn't a color.
That's what the extroverts want you to think.
It's me, Carrie, and I'm meeting up with Rebecca to record another episode of the Introvert 360 Podcast. Ooh, it looks like she's on the phone.
No, I didn't break it. Why am I the one who needs to pay?
Jeez, I wonder what's wrong.
Yes, this is the first time I called. I filled out numerous forms. I would love to stop by and speak with the manager.
Ooh. Drawing conclusions.
Yes, that's right. No one referred me. No one told me that I needed a reference. What? Perfect Nugan. Why does she keep hanging up?
Hey, what's going on?
I was just following up on my job application.
I should have known. As mentioned in the previous podcast, we're going to spend this podcast talking about why the hiring process is broken in a segment called... It's something about referrals.
AKA why all us introverts are screwed.
It all comes down to this little thing called referrals. And we're not talking about web links to drive people to our numerous websites.
I'm not sure that all our listeners have numerous websites to go to their numerous personas. That's just you.
You're making me sound duplicitous.
No, you never struck me as a giant herbivorous dinosaur.
What?
Anyway, let's get back on track. Thank you, Miss Tangent, for that diversion.
Really, I'm the one getting us off track. Really?
So, here's an interesting stat. Although they account for only 6% of total applications, referrals now result in more than a quarter of all hires at large companies.
Well, that's some interesting math, really.
Right. So, if referrals were 24% of the applications, they would account for 100% of the hires.
Gosh, I hope not. That would mean I actually have to start connecting with people. Something that's not easy for a shy introvert like me, you know.
There's part of me that wonders if this is just a way to share the blame if a hire was terrible. You know, kind of like, why did you hire that guy who keeps spitting in the coffee pot? Anyone involved in the hiring process could say, well, Bob referred him. When they ask where Bob is, they can say, well, he was fired for licking all the donuts in the lunchroom. And then they say, why did we hire Bob? Well, Darla referred him. Where's Darla? Well, she got really sick after having a donut and a coffee in the lunchroom. And hasn't been back since.
I love your brain, but I doubt that's what happens.
You doubt me. That's the last time I'm going to refer you.
I'm just saying that it seems like there would be actual advantages for referrals, like speed to hire or maybe cost. I suppose that hiring managers might be able to assume that the referred candidates are more likely to share the organization's values since they know somebody already in the company.
Or maybe they share the employee's passion for defiling food in the lunchroom.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, who really knows, right? But you're right. Referral programs are associated with lots of benefits. You already said speed to hire, and that definitely is one. It takes 55% less time. That's what they say, at least. Cost is on the list, too. Referral programs can save employers $3,000 or more per hire. Any other guesses?
Employee retention?
You are so smart. Yes, apparently, according to one stat I saw, two-year retention for referred employees was 45% versus 22% from job boards and 33% from a career site.
Well, I suppose that makes sense. I was basically referred for my last job, and I stayed there for 11 years.
There is also the belief that referred employees improve the quality of hires, and 88% of employers cite referrals are the best source for above-average candidates. And that makes sense, too. I referred you for the last job, and I think you are very much above average.
Aw, thank you for the compliment. As a referred employee, there was a level of comfort in entering that new workplace, feeling like there was a mutual understanding of how I fit into the role because I knew you and I understood your description of the role. And I suppose that's especially true as I'm an introvert. It's so great to start in an organization and have a friend or at least an acquaintance there so that they can talk to me during mandatory fun and vouch for what I can bring to the organization.
I told everyone you'd bring cake.
I don't think you told me that. Did I bring cake?
No.
That would have been nice to know 11 years ago.
Okay, so where's my cake now?
Still at the store. So, in normal circumstances, it sounds like there are some pretty strong arguments for employee referral programs.
Yeah, even your quote-unquote good friend, Liz Ryan, is all about them, saying employee referral is the best recruiting channel I know, and that an employee referral program is a temperature gauge on your culture. If your employees are lobbing in their friends' resumes like crazy and you're hiring a lot of them, your culture is great.
Okay, first of all, just because I mentioned Liz Ryan in a podcast once does not mean we're best friends. She doesn't even know me.
So she's not like your girlfriend, like Simon Sinek is your boyfriend?
Okay, I'm going to ignore that and get us back on track.
Miss Tangent.
Seriously, this is what I have to put up with. Is the implication that good companies should not have to worry about traditional hiring?
I think the implication is that the less traditional hires there are, the better for the organization. So, what gives? Why do companies depend on referrals?
Well, the problem is that there's no proven formula for identifying the best candidates, right? I ran across something that I thought was super fascinating. Google actually tried to hack the hiring process.
Of course, computer people would try to hack the system. So, did the hack involve lots of Cheetos in a dark basement?
No, they tried to design a search algorithm that could sift through tens of thousands of applicants within their system and return a list of top candidates. Google's acceptance rate is 2 out of every 1,000 applicants, or 1/25th that of Harvard University.
So was it kind of like an applicant tracking system?
Oh, this was a bit later than the early tracking systems. It was around 2006. So this was likely a response to the increased influx of applicants in 2003 that were fueled by social media and such.
So were the results of the Google research Google Plus or Google Play?
Well, the search algorithm was a plus.
A Google Plus?
Nah, it was a total bust. They found that there were no factors based on candidate profiles or answers to interview questions that could be pointed as a predictor to a candidate's success in the company.
Not even a love of cats?
No, but dogs were on the list.
Really?
Sadly, no.
So it's probably inevitable that HR folks would take the shortcut and dig through the employee referrals instead of the 250 applications they receive for the job, which is the actual average number of candidates for each opening.
Yeesh. Was it always that way, or has the internet and the ability to apply online increased the number of applications per position?
Well, I think so. It used to be more of a chore to write a cover letter, fix up your resume, and print everything up and stick it in the mail. I used to be much more selective about what I would apply for. Now I apply for things that I'm only marginally interested in or qualified for, especially when I receive an email from LinkedIn reminding me to apply for a job with a click of a button.
But women only apply for jobs that they're 100% qualified for, whereas men apply for jobs that they're only 60% qualified for.
I think you're 100% qualified for being my podcast co-host.
Aw, thank you. But I think you're 100% trying to get us off track again.
No, you're Miss Tangent, not me. Anyway, given that we apply for jobs that we're maybe not totally interested in or totally qualified for, we've all become part of the problem, contributing to the massive number of applications companies receive. And we're still, on average, companies only bring in about 2% of candidates.
Okay, doing some math in my head. Wow, that's like five. That's crazy.
Do you think companies would always bring in about five candidates when interviewing, even when most of the applications were submitted via snail mail?
You know, I always like to think about snails and a little letter on their back. Just stop it, Ms. Tangents. You're getting us off track again. Anyways, based on my experience as a hiring manager, we always brought in five or more candidates. Even way back when you know, applications were submitted via the cute little snails with the shells. I do. I always think about snails with letters on their back.
That's funny.
Don't you?
No.
This is just me?
It's just you.
Really?
Well, I'm sure that there's somebody out there.
And a little stamp on the shell. I mean, no?
No, no.
God, all right.
Sorry.
Isn't that why it's called snail mail?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Sorry.
There were You know what?
There's a breed of snail.
The reason why it's no longer called snail mail is because cars were invented, and the snails couldn't cross the road without getting run over, and then people's mail wasn't getting delivered, and that's really morbid and disgusting.
And the stamps are stamped out on the ground. Right,
like, they just had to give it up.
All right, I don't like your story.
It's okay, neither did I.
It's very morbid.
So really there's... Okay, thanks, Debbie Downer. Yeah. So really there hasn't been a change in the number of interviews. It's a change in the percentage of chance that you actually will score an interview, right? So now you have a 2% chance, but in the past you may have had a 10% chance.
So when I was looking into why interviewing is hard and reliable, I came across a sports analogy that really resonated with me.
Let me guess, hacky sack.
I love hacky sack.
I know, we did a whole podcast on it.
We did. Way back in the Wayback Machine.
In the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, it was about project management. Yeah. Yeah. All right, unicorns. Anyways, so I suppose you can try hard to make the hacky sack analogy appropriate. But this example was regarding football. And if you were a football scout and you learned of a really awesome player who has led his team to a good win-loss record, his coaches think he's the most talented player they have seen in years. But the scout is unimpressed by the one practice game he sees this guy in, and he tells the manager, it's not worth trying to recruit the player. An interview is like that practice game, somewhat irrelevant in the grand scheme of a person's experience. The author noted that predictions based on references, school reports, prior experience, letters of recommendation, were much more effective than a single 30-minute interview. I also like the fact that the author said that, and I quote, extroverts in general do better in interviews than introverts, but for many, if not most jobs, extroversion is not what we're looking for. Psychological theory and data show that we are incapable of treating the interview data as little more than unreliable gossip.
Wow.
It is just too compelling that we've learned a lot from those 30 minutes.
Wow. Well, actually, that kind of links up with what folks at Google found, is that one interview was not very successful. They found that there was an actual magic number of interviews to identify the best candidate.
Please let it be none. Please let it be none.
Actually, it's four.
That's four too many.
Then you would definitely not have liked the original process at Google, which, get this, this is crazy. 25 job interviews for each candidate.
What?
25 interviews? You must really have wanted to work there. I mean, it's Google, so I'm sure that it's exciting, but still, 25 still seems awfully high.
Okay, for Google, I'll compromise on two.
Well, according to Google, also, it has to be four different people. Four great Google interviews could identify successful hires with 86% accuracy, and it shaved the median time to hire down to 47 days. Before, when they were doing the 25 job interviews, it would take 90 to 180 days.
Okay, you got me. I'll compromise on four.
You know, you really are terrible at negotiating.
No kidding. Sending a candidate through a handful of interviews actually makes a lot of sense. A single person views a candidate through their own lens, and even if they are evaluating for a quote-unquote cultural fit, they are really analyzing, can I work with this person? Do I like this person? So if you have four people with four different lenses analyzing a candidate, where they overlap is probably the closest thing there is to truth. That way, if one person doesn't like your haircut, you won't automatically be kicked out. But if nobody likes your hair,
then you're screwed.
Yep, that's right.
This was apparently as good as it gets, at least for Google. Nobody at the company, regardless of tenure or interviewing experience, could do any better than the combined assessment of four different interviewers.
Not even the robots? Not even HireVue, like we talked about in the last episode?
Like I said, this was back in 2006.
You know, the robots have made great strides in world domination since then. They must be getting way better at referrals and interviews than me.
I bet their interview skills aren't rusty. You know, like a robot? That was a joke.
Look at you making jokes. I am so proud.
All right, so we talked about issues in the application process, particularly the bias towards referrals and the inadequacy of the hiring process. So are we just going to leave things on a down note? Because that kind of stinks.
Yeah, it doesn't seem very helpful, does it? But I guess I'm not sure that individuals have a lot of power to fix the process. It's kind of just like knowing the limitations of the current process and trying to hack them. Of course, if Google couldn't do it.
Hey now, don't be such a pessimist. I think knowledge is power.
You go, girl!
All right, and that we just need to reframe things and get out of our comfort zones. Be a joiner. Embrace the referral process.
Hey, I'm not sure if I'm up for all this embracing. I do like my personal space.
Okay, well, I actually have a recent example.
You do?
Yes. I had a referral from my financial planner. It was for a company that wasn't really a good match for me, so I honestly never did anything with it, which is kind of bad. Based on what we learned, I put my big girl pants on and sent the email mentioning who referred me and highlighting my relevant experience and stated that I was currently seeking freelancing or employment opportunities and that I was interested in learning more about the company and what skills and experience they looked for when they were hiring. And they said they would contact me to set up an informational interview. It was kind of cool. Very empowering.
You go, girl. It's totally a start. It's also probably important for all of us introverts to just jump out of our comfort zone and get better at networking.
Oh, man, say it ain't so, Joe.
Hey, the name is Rebecca, but we will be discussing ways for introverts to up their networking game in a future episode of Introvert 360.
And while we've been talking about a lot of hiring as referral driven, don't forget that most jobs are still filled by candidates submitted the old fashioned way.
You mean the snail with the stamp?
I didn't, but I'm actually going to try mailing things again. I used to get better responses when I would mail my applications and I would draw on the envelopes.
And then you would give the envelope to the snail and he would just like very slowly ooze his way and deliver the letter. And it was like years late, but it... They must really have liked you because they still called you up for an interview.
Okay, we need to forget about the snails.
Okay. Needs work.
Might need some work.
Okay, fine. And if you're not inclined to doodle on envelopes or befriend the snails, putting together a LinkedIn profile that's really awesome will serve your efforts very well. Something like 90% of recruiters look for candidates on LinkedIn. No snails, though.
And they don't, of course, they don't have a, they can't type.
Right.
And make sure you add those connections. The more connections you have, the higher you appear in search results. I've actually started adding all of the recruiters that I've spoken to so that I can increase the number of people on my LinkedIn connections list.
You know, I have a slightly different angle on adding connections.
I hesitate to ask, but what is it?
It doesn't involve snails.
Okay, good. Please proceed.
Well, anytime a Nintendo character sends me a friend request, I accept it.
Oh, yeah? How's that going?
Yeah, well, I'm still waiting for Super Mario to connect with me. You know, he has a page.
On LinkedIn?
Yeah, he does.
All right. I'm guessing we better move on before you break into the Mario theme song. All right. Let's move on to the question of the day.
All right. We're moving on to the question of the day.
Oh, thank God.
It's not about snails.
Double thankful.
The question is,
envelope or envelope? Is there a difference? Is there an opportunity? Do you say one? You know how, like, sometimes it's like anhistoric or ahistoric? You know, like, sometimes there's
did you hear me say it differently?
I think you said envelope.
I always say.
And I think I said envelope.
Okay, so I think you open envelopes in the garage.
Okay. What?
But you open envelopes in the garage. How do you say garage?
Garage. That's how you say
garage.
It.
Garage. Garage. You open envelopes in the garage.
Okay.
Envelopes in the garage. Envelopes in the garage. Anyways.
This is not happening.
Okay.
Envelope or envelope. There was another word, too, and I was like, oh, I say that totally differently, okay. And that's really weird.
Okay, so it is, I think it's totally, it's...
It's one of those weird things where, is there a right...
You know, it's probably, it's a, I don't think it's a localization or a, it's not a localization, how you pronounce things differently.
Interesting.
And sometimes it's very micro, or where your parents are coming from. But yeah, if you in even in Minnesota, it like Minnesota
on the boat
I think it's pretty split. Like some people will say envelope, and some people will say envelope, and some people will say garage, and some people will say garage. And that's why I was saying that, is because envelope and garage are fancier to me than envelope and garage.
Interesting.
I think it's I don't like really, really strong sounds. Yeah.
Or like, so are you an amen person versus an amen person?
Amen. Are you amen?
Some people say amen.
Do you say amen?
It depends on if I'm singing or not.
Amen. You're right. I don't say amen.
Some people do, though. But I think it depends on, to me, I actually think it depends on if I'm singing, but I was just thinking about amen or amen, and like, I can't remember where I was the other day, and people were praying. And I said the opposite of what everybody said. And then I was like, that was an introvert moment. Because then I was panicking about the fact that I said it wrong and whether or not I would be ostracized for saying the word wrong. But that's really just in my head. And I know
you said the word wrong. You said word, the word word wrong.
What did I say now?
It's actually word.
Word. I said word. Word.
It's word.
The word. That's like the Eastern. It's like word.
You know, I love. See, and that's the sort of thing. I love it when people say water. I love it when people say water. It's one of my favorite things. It's just, I love it.
It is something.
And if you leave this in here and a certain person listens to this, he'll know that I'm saying it for him. Well, because I always make him say water.
Well, I'll send him a letter with a snail and maybe he'll get it in 5 years. Okay, perhaps we should wrap up.
I don't know. Was there anything we should say about garage?
No, that wasn't the actual question. I just
added Mario?
Mario?
Super Mario versus Super Mario?
Who says Mario?
Oh my gosh. A lot of people do. It drives me crazy. Oh, was it the word Joe?
No, Joe is Joe. Cup of Joe?
I'm trying to think of what did I say that was funny. It was probably
everything you say is funny, as far as I'm concerned. All right, so there you have it. Another episode of Introvert 360. Please leave a comment or review if you liked us. And check out our website at theintrovert360.com for previous episodes, including the ones from our Com Capers podcasts. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Twitter twice. And I think we're done unless you have anything else.
Magic.
Okay, you do realize that our podcast is audio only, right? Or is it magic because you're invisible?
It's a good thought. I mean, yeah, no one can see me. But what I meant is that the answer to the hiring problem is magic.
Not cake?
Oh, cake is definitely good for rolls.